Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everybody. Great to be with you. And yesterday was Patriots Day. In reality, this is Patriots Day. When your mother is a graduate of Lexington High School in Massachusetts, you know when Patriots Day really is. It is the one day that my parents let me get out of school. Like, that was it, one day. It's the one day my parents let me get out of school because they had it off in Massachusetts. And we would go up to my grandparents every year, and they would host a huge party. And if we wanted to go and take in the Boston Marathon, we could take in the Boston Marathon. If we wanted to go see the Red Sox, we could go see the Red Sox. Or we'd go down to the Lexington Green. And I remember in 1975, President Ford, Caroline Kennedy and Ted Kennedy, and they had huge, because it was the 200th anniversary of the first battle of the Revolutionary War. That's why it's Patriots Day. And my godmother, her home is four houses off the green. That's how close. So, yes, April 19th is, in reality, Patriots Day. History lesson from someone who's seen it. All right. Sean, how are you?
We're doing great, and we'll file that away. We'll be ready when we... offer up the quiz, we'll be ready.
A little history lesson to start.
Adds a little balance to the show. That's great.
Was it exactly what you expected to start the show?
More than just sports talk. We're well-rounded around here.
Oh, exactly. Well, I mean, really, I can make up anything. All right. Later today, Rich Scarcella is going to be on the show, and Bucknell's going to play baseball today with Penn State at Medler Field, Lebronto Park at 6:30 this evening. And we're going to have Penn State baseball coach Rob Cooper on next half hour. They're playing great. Penn State baseball, they're playing great right now. Not good, great. They're just coming off a three-game weekend sweep at North. They're coming off a weekend sweep against Northwestern. They've been rolling. This will be the second meeting with Bucknell this year, and they'll play Bucknell tonight at 6:30 at Medler Field, Lebronto Park. So we'll have Rob Cooper next half hour, then Rich Scarcella to talk Penn State football in the 4 o'clock half hour. Plenty going on. Number 800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in. Love to hear from you. And Drew Rosenhaus, how bad is it for Johnny Manziel when Drew Rosenhaus bags you? You're in bad shape. He is. Michael Strahan's going to leave Kelly Ripa. Did you see that?
That was a buzz down our newsroom hallway a couple of hours ago, and I'm thinking, who could be Strahan's replacement? Anderson Cooper has filled in a few times. Kelly and Cooper? Anderson Cooper from CNN?
A little bit too much because he has a night show.
It's one thing to be the 360 show, yeah.
Yeah, it's another thing to be on there all the time. He's going to stick with Good Morning America, by the way. So, Laura Spencer, Penn State graduates on this show. On GMA. So he's going to do that. Marc-Andre Fleury is out of tonight's Penguins-Rangers game. So tied at a game apiece. To the backups we go again. Between the pipes. The Phillies lost last night. We've got the game tonight, 7:05, 6:30, the airtime. this evening on News Radio 1070 WKOK against the Mets. So the Phils are now 6-8. And that's a 7:05 start tonight. 6:30 will be the airtime for that. From Citizens Bank Park, Mets won with relative ease last night. And, yeah, big deal. It's one night. That's fine. But the Mets are 6-6. The Phillies are 6-8. What is the pitching matchup tonight? Are we up to, we're not quite up to Vince Velasquez yet, are we? Is it Vince Velasquez tonight?
Let's check on that.
I mean, Robinson Tejada is the last Phillies starter to not allow a run in his first two starts. Not bad. I think Vince Velasquez is going tonight.
Yes, he is, against Logan Verrett.
Yep. Advantage Philadelphia.
Yep, 2-0 so far, 25 Ks.
And he's only walked three. Verrett's only started five of his 20 career games. He's not bad. He's 1-1 with a 2.86 ERA. Had a no decision the last time out, and that was against the Phillies. And obviously Noah Syndergaard was great last night. Yeah, he struck out eight. Allowed one run over seven innings. Not bad. But this is the Vince Velasquez moment. I love the fact it's warm weather. Doesn't take much for a pitcher to get loosened up on a night like that. Love the makeup of Velasquez between he and Aaron Nola. Wow. You got something cooking there.
Most Ks for any Phillies pitcher in his first two starts.
Yep. That's something cooking there. But they obviously there's certain things that you need. For example, I mean, you need to have solid production offensively out of your first base spot. You just do. It's a power spot between Darren Ruff and Ryan Howard. They're getting nothing there right now, and they're still 6-8. I mean, Galvis has done well enough. Ruiz homered the other day. Behind the plate. Cesar Hernandez, I've always liked anyway. I don't think he's awesome, great, or incredible, but I've always liked him. But it's going to be on the mound where I think they can make the biggest difference in this whole thing. And Velasquez goes tonight, and he's got Verrett. Not bad. That is the matchup tonight at 7:05. We're on beginning at 6:30 with the broadcast here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Bottom of the sixth inning, the Brewers lead at Minnesota Target Field 5-2, although the Twins are threatening with two outs. Tampa Bay at Fenway against the Red Sox tonight. Seattle will be at Cleveland. Toronto at Baltimore. The Orioles are now 8-3 after the 7-0 start. Were they 8-0 or were they 7-0? I guess they were 8-0, weren't they? So they've lost three in a row. Well, Buck Showalter's in trouble now. The Dodgers in Atlanta tonight. No Vin Scully because they're in Atlanta. And Colorado's at Cincinnati. Washington will be at Miami. Those are some of the games tonight. And there's four playoff games coming up tonight in the Stanley Cup. The Philadelphia Flyer fans did not leave last night's game in glory. How about that? They will. It will come up a little bit later in the show. And I think you know what part of the show it will come up in. I also want to remind everybody of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up. And your participation will be greatly welcomed. And The tournament is just, to me, it's a must. It is an absolute must. I think it's just really, really cool. All right, now Vince Scully, this is his last year. 67 years. And he can take anything. Now, he's 88 years old. He's 88 years old. He can take anything and turn it into something where you are riveted to listening to it.
I'm so glad that MLB Network ran the Dodgers-Giants game on Saturday night. Got home from the blue-white game, and after the replay, popped on MLB Network. It's, oh, great, there's Vin. Finally get a chance to hear Vin this year. Yeah, he just weaves one story after another.
No, quite. I mean, he is really, in our business, he's probably the best ever. And he has a special ability. Now, part of this is people ask, well, how much baseball do you watch at home? And he actually reads a lot more. Well, the fact that he reads a lot comes out in the broadcast. The number 13, long thought to be bad luck. Vin Scully takes us through the number 13 in his own amazing way. And he was able to go through 13, what it means, the whole deal. And he really is, he does it in such a way where, okay, you're interested, you're riveted. MLB Network decided to do something where they had him, where they went back something a long time ago. He read a grocery list, and he made, and even that, you're like, okay, wait a minute. Eggs? What? Bacon? What? Vin Scully on the number 13.
Looking up something that we had, discovered years ago, and especially comes to mind, since Nick Ahmed has a base hit to drive in the run, he wears number 13. 1-1. It's an untrue, old-fashioned belief that number 13 is an unlucky number. It's a worldwide belief, but it does not hold up. That's a strike. He'll almost...
Oh, I'm sorry to say we lost it there. My goodness. Yeah, it, great stuff. If we can get it back for you, we'll do it. But he says along the way, what he does is he tells you to look at the dollar bill, for example. The dollar bill, for instance, America relies on God, not a number, to direct and lead. He says there were 13 original colonies, 13 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 13 stripes on the flag, 13 steps on the pyramid of your dollar bill, 13 letters in E Pluribus Unum. On that dollar bill, there are 13 stars above the eagle. On the shield, 13 leaves on the olive branch, 13 fruits. And if you look very closely, 13 arrows, another foul ball. And finally, if you're looking at the dollar bill, notice the arrangement of the 13 stars in the right-hand circle. You'll see that they arrange as the Star of David. So nothing wrong with rooting for the number 13. It's a 2-2 count. Only Vin Scully can do that. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us as we roll through today. We're going to have Rob Cooper next half hour. Then we're going to change up and get you to Rich Scarsella of the Reading Eagle. And we'll talk Penn State football a little bit as well. So, that's all coming up on the show today. He is getting a bit embarrassed, by the way. Vince Scully is, with all the attention he's getting. But you know what? He's in our business. Let's just go to this. In our business of sports broadcasting, I mean, he really is a treasure. You know, and everybody has their own. Harry Callis was a treasure. There's no getting around it. I think Merrill Reese is a treasure. Bill Campbell was a treasure. Fran Fischer was a treasure. Jack Fleming was with the Steelers. Now it's Bill Hillgrove. I mean, there, you know, you get, you know, Bob Prince was, Jim Woods. You know, all treasures to their fan bases. You know, I think I'm going to try this one more time. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'm going to try it one more time.
Oh, discovered years ago. And especially comes to mind, since Nick Ahmed has a base hit to drive in the run, he wears number 13. 1-1. It's an untrue, old-fashioned belief that number 13 is an unlucky number. It's a worldwide belief, but it does not hold up. That's a strike. You'll almost never see a room numbered 13 or any hotel or motel with a 13th floor. But think the other way about number 13. Look at the dollar bill, for instance. America relies on God, not a number, to direct and lead. There were 13 original colonies, 13 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 13 stripes on the flag, 13 steps on the pyramid on your dollar bill. An E plus on that dollar bill, there are 13 stars above the eagle, 13 bars on the shield, 13 leaves on the olive branch, 13 fruits, and if you look very closely, 13 arrows, another foul ball. And finally, if you're looking at the dollar bill, notice the arrangement. The 13 stars in the right-hand circle. You'll see that they are arranged as a Star of David. So nothing wrong rooting for number 13.
You can make a phone book sound great. This is all during Austin Barnes at bat. That's courtesy of MLB.com, by the way. Now you know why they don't want him to retire. Like I said, every market has their own treasure, and Philadelphia fans have certainly had theirs with Harry Callis. Harry Callis might be the most treasured of all in Philadelphia, but Merrill Reese is certainly treasured. I think Bill Campbell in his own way was too. And, of course, Pittsburgh fans, Bob Prince. I mean, Lanny Fitzgerald to a point, but Bob Prince, Jack Fleming, Bill Hillgrove, Myron Cope, obviously Mike Lang. Fran Fischer to all Penn State fans. Treasures.
Mount Pleasant Mills. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. It'll be great to see Tom and the gang out at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. We'll have Adam Purdy on the show tomorrow. It's coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. State College is a buzz today, Sean. Do you know why?
Little visitor at Rec Hall tonight, from what I hear.
Bernie Sanders is showing up. Now, I'm looking at that as a plus. I think now it's going to be one. Because all the students will be over there. The students will not be on the golf course. They'll be over at Rec Hall. They've already got a line all the way around to see him speak here this evening. Of course, that also means they have to close down Park Avenue. It's a standard. Anytime there's Secret Service anything, Park Avenue gets automatically closed here. It's part of the rules. Oh, well. But, yeah, he's here. This day in sports history, then Rob Cooper. Bernie will not be throwing out the first pitch of tonight's Bucknell-Penn State game. Okay.
Missed opportunity.
I'm telling you, it's a bad promotion somewhere. They could have worked out great for everybody. 1897, the first annual Boston Marathon was held. It was the first of its type in the U.S. Johnny Kelly, Bill Rogers, Alberto Salazar, all winners over the years of the Great Boston Marathon. 1958, the Giants and Dodgers played the first major league game on the West Coast. The game was played at the L.A. Coliseum. It was 250 down the line and left. 1960, baseball uniforms began displaying players' names on their backs for the first time. 1966, Anaheim Stadium opened as the then-named California Angels took on the Chicago White Sox. 1968 on this date, the National League approved expansion franchises for Montreal and San Diego. Dallas-Fort Worth failed at its bid to get a National League franchise. Eventually, they would. They would get an American League franchise because the Washington Senators moved to Arlington. 1988, the Sixers retired Julius Erving's number 6 before a home game. Dr. J also had a statue unveiled. 1992, Michael Jordan won his 6th consecutive NBA scoring title, averaging slightly better than 30 points a game. And in 1999, because of a back problem, Cal Ripken Jr., for the first time in his career, was placed on the disabled list. The first time in 19 years. Wow, that's this day in sports history. Bucknell and Penn State, college baseball tonight, Medler Field, Lebronto Park. Let's bring in the head baseball coach of the Nittany Lions, Rob Cooper. His team is on a roll after a weekend sweep over Northwestern. They've won 5 in a row, 7 of their last 8. They're cooking right now. And, Rob, right now your team is currently 2nd in the Big Ten and 65th in the nation in walks. Right now, your on-base percentage is soaring. How important has that been for your team, and their play, and where's their plate discipline right now?
Well, it's been really, really fun to watch, and I gotta really give a lot of credit to our hitting coach Ross Ader, who, I was lucky enough to coach at Wright State. He was an All-American. He played in the Cardinal organization, and he really preaches a very aggressive, but also a very patient approach. And so, and what I mean by that is that, hey, here's our plan. We want to be real aggressive attacking it, but we want to make sure that we don't deviate away from it. And so when you're able to do that, and you're able to, not swing at pitches that are outside that plan, outside of that approach, then you're able to get in leverage counts. You're able to work the count. And I give our hitters a lot of credit because, after the first month of the season, we might have been on the other side of those rankings. And so, I definitely respect and appreciate the effort our guys have given to try to, stay with that process and that plan and not chase outcomes and batting average.
Obviously, James Coates is a guy that, obviously you'd like to see him hit 261 and not 161. But his on-base percentage is .377. Is that a good example of somebody maxing out at the plate even though he's not getting hits to get on base?
Yeah, it is because, first of all, every at-bat he has is competitive. So, chances are that James Coates is going to go up to the plate, and in an at-bat, he's going to see anywhere between 5 and 8 pitches. And so you figure if he gets up 4 times a game, he's going to see, close to 40 pitches. And that's a lot just from one hitter alone to take out of a pitching staff. And then he can bunt. He gets on base through that walking, and then he's really he's been able to, because of it, to understand his value as a, as an offensive player. And again, you've heard me talk a lot about, I don't want, they usually follow each other. I don't want necessarily, you know, us to be chasing batting average. I want us to be a great offensive team. And he understands his value as an offensive player, which has then allowed him to work on his swing. And now he's starting to swing the bat better as well. So, you know, he just brings so much to the table and makes us a better offensive team. And he's a good defender in the outfield.
Every starting lineup you put out there has at least two freshmen in there, and sometimes you'll have three freshmen in there. What have these kids done to energize the lineup and made a difference for you at such an early age?
Well, the very first thing is, I'm going to kind of take you back a little bit. I remember sitting, you know, when I first got the job and hired Coach Anderson, Coach Ader, and said, look, you know, I know that we have some needs. We want to go out and recruit some guys, but here, number one, we want to recruit baseball players, kids that are highly motivated, good character kids, high quality character kids that are come from winning programs and want to win. So that's got to be the first and most important ingredient. I don't want necessarily the most skilled baseball players that look good in BP and everything. I want guys that want to win and compete. And so the next thing we did, Steve, is it was, you know, hey, let's, you know, don't go and sign guys that first year. Don't go and sign guys that you wouldn't sign 5 years from now. Make sure they're the right guys. Don't just chase bodies. And so,
right. Don't be desperate. Don't panic.
Right. Because, you know, if you don't want to get somebody in here who's not good enough or is not the right type of fit and all that kind of stuff. And so our coaches did a great job of that. And so we put together, you know, these 11 freshmen that we feel like really fit that mold. And they want to win. They came here because they want to put their print on Penn State, and they want to win and they want to compete. And they're baseball players. They love to play the game. And they're talented. And like tonight, I think we have, you know, we're going to start Sloniger behind the plate. He's a freshman. We're going to start Berger. We're going to start, you know, so I think there's six or seven freshmen in tonight's game alone.
Right.
Including the you know, Eli Neville's on the mound. It's just, they bring great energy. But I would be really doing a disservice to our upperclassmen if I didn't tip my hat to them as to how they brought these guys along, made them feel welcome, you know, encouraged them to go for, you know, starting positions and things like that. And that's not easy to do. So yeah. I appreciate our guys doing that.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the upperclassmen. It's really the first time I've asked you about the freshmen. You really like to wait to a certain point to see if there's a body of work. That's why I waited till now to ask that. Greg Gears is one of those upperclassmen. The last 11 games, Coop, he is, as you know, has been on a roll. He's hit 5-11 over the last 11 games. Did he make a slight adjustment? Was there a slight change in approach? Or was it just keep doing what you're doing, eventually they'll fall?
No, actually, you know what? It was exactly the latter. It was, hey, I know that what I'm doing is right. I'm not getting rewarded for it right now. I'm not going to panic and freak out. Which is something he did, you know, 2 years ago. He, 2 years ago, my first year here, that man started off hitting line drives at people and had absolutely nothing to show for it. And he just looked at the outcome part. He wasn't looking at how well he was doing and as far as the controllables he had. And, you know, we sat down and talked about it. And I really give him a lot of credit because he's not freaking out. He's sitting there. And let me tell you right now, it's not a soft, you know, 700. It's a hard 700. I mean, right. He is really, really doing a lot of things at the plate for us.
Yeah, he's got 8 multi-hit games in the last 11. You don't do that by dropping bunts down the third base line. I want to get to the margin of error. Your team ERA right now is 3.14. That's down 2 runs from a year ago at this time. How dramatically has that changed your margin of error?
Dramatically. I mean, obviously you're playing with almost 2 less runs up on the opponent's side every game when you do that over the course of the year. But what it's done is it's strengthened our bullpen. You know, you look at a guy like Sal Biazzi, Taylor Lehman, Nick Destacio, Marco Borsic, all freshmen that were asked to do a lot last year. And so they're going through growing pains on the mound and having to pitch in impactful innings. And now you're seeing them as sophomores who they're really starting to figure this game, you know, out at this level. And So now when we pitch and we're able to give the ball to our bullpen in the fifth or sixth inning, you know, or seventh inning with a lead, now you're making, you know, Dakota Forsythe that much more valuable, Nick Nastasio that much more valuable, and Jack Anderson is getting rewarded, you know, individually, statistically. I don't think he's necessarily pitching better than he has in the past. It's just that, you know, he's not coming in as a fifth just to keep us in the game and then getting a hard luck loss. He's, you know, he's able to get, you know, a win or a save, and it's just, it's made a big difference because we're able to stay in games, and then that allows our hitters to keep chipping away and give us a chance to win.
And that ERA, by the way, for the audience, is third in the Big Ten. It's 23rd in the nation right now. Last year, you had the frustration of being 1-7 in games decided by one run or less. In games decided by one run. This year, in games decided by one run, you're 6-2. Were there times last year where you climbed back to within one run, and now this time, because the ERA and the defense is better, that you're now getting over the hump in those comebacks?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would even take it a step further. I think there were times last year late in the game, but, you know, I like kind of like the last 10 outs where we were up maybe a run
right,
or five. And you got to learn how to win. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think, well, of course, you know, everybody wants to win, and why, you know, what do you mean you got to learn how to win? But you do, you know.
You do. Yeah.
You do. And, you know, Steve, even early this year, I mean, I can remember times in games where, it's, you know, I'd bring the guys up, or after a game, I'd bring the guys up and say, listen, you're not chained to the past. It doesn't always have to get worse. Like, you can change it. You can do it. And our guys really took to that. Like, they really bought it. And I really felt like, you know, we played Niagara here, and Friday night was a tough game, and we didn't do enough to finish that game off. And we lost. And I came in after the game, and I was like, listen, you know, I basically gave them that message. And I said, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to come out, and we're going to win this series. Now, I wasn't trying to go Joe Namath or anything like that, but my point was, like, we can win this. And I loved how our guys responded to it, because it was like, all right, we can do this. And it's been better ever since.
Bob, you and I both know there's a big difference between I hope we can and just saying let's just go get it done. I mean, there's a big there's a big difference between the mentality of the two. That's the part of learning to win where, gee, I hope we get something done. I hope we get a break.
Yeah, you know, the thing you're trying to get guys to understand is you're not trying to survive a game. You're trying to finish it. And I felt like in the past, and I felt like early this year that, you know, it was like, all right, well, here we are. Like, if we can just survive this inning, no. Play it. Finish it. You know, and that's what, when you get out of that survival mode of just trying to kind of finish out a game instead of just keep playing and finish it, then I think you're on to something.
You have Bucknell tonight. Then you're going to hit the road. Kent State's always usually very, very good. So, I mean, these midweek games, you've taken great advantage of the midweek games. How important has it been that they approach it the same way they do the weekend?
I think it's really helped us in that regard. I think our guys have looked at every game and, you know, I'm really big on trying to get our guys to play a faceless opponent, which means that all you're trying to do is take care of yourself and your preparation and you know, what you do. And then that way, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you're able to go out and compete the same way. And I'm proud of how our kids have done that because, you know, that's what's so challenging about this game is that you have to do it every game. You have to do it every day. And so, you know, being able to play these midweek games, and, it challenges you to do that, whether you're on the road, whether you're at home, doesn't matter the name of the team, doesn't matter their record. You have to have the same approach. That's what builds consistency. That's what the process is. And at the end of the day, the thing that people forget is that you play Binghamton at home, and you win. That win counts just as much as playing South Carolina, and you know, so it goes on the record, it goes on the, you know, the stats, and so we got to go out and play it, you know, and control the things we can.
One final question. It's going to go back to actually your previous answer. Are you starting to sense within your team when they get to innings 7, 8, and 9 that there's a little bit of a killer instinct in them, though?
Yeah, and I also am sensing, like, you know, I thought Northwestern was a great example. You know, we were leading and we kind of gave the game back Friday a little bit. And no panic, no fear. Let's just keep playing. And then, you know, we got the lead again and it was, you know, it's just, you're not seeing kind of that emotional roller coaster in the dugout. And, you know, again, that goes back to those guys making that choice and really buying into to just playing the game. And, you know, you can throw out all the cliches you want, you know, but as long as you got a pitch left until that final out, you got a chance to win the game.
Five wins in a row, trying to make it six when they take on Bucknell coming up this evening. That's 6:30 at Medler Field, Lebronto Park, then on the road to take on Kent State, and that will be tomorrow at 6. Coop, thanks so much. Best of luck tonight and tomorrow and into the weekend.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
Rob Cooper, Penn State baseball coach. Again, Bucknell tonight at Medler Field at Lebronto Park. Rich Scarsella next half hour on Penn State football as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And it will be Vince Velasquez on the mound tonight for the Phillies when they take on the Mets in Game 2 of this three-game set that you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 7:05 will be the first pitch from Vince Velasquez tonight. 6:30 will be the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can't ask for a better start to his Phillies career than what you've seen from Vince Velasquez, and he will get the ball tonight. Verrett will get the ball tonight for the Mets. So that is the schedule for this evening. And that's one thing between Aaron Nola and Vince Velasquez. They put a little electricity now into the fan base and into the Phillies because of how well they pitched early on in their respective careers in Philadelphia. So he gets the ball tonight, and that will be at Citizens Bank Park this evening. 7:05 the start, 6:30 the airtime. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Rich Scarsella, next half hour, going to talk Penn State football with him, his impressions of the blue-white game, and some of the things that he came away with. Of course, our phone line's always open at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565, and our thanks to Rob Cooper for coming on today. Bucknell and Penn State tonight in baseball. That'll be at 6:30 tonight at Medler Field, Lebronto Park, for those making the trip over. And then they go to Kent State for the first of a home-and-home with them coming up tomorrow night. And then they hit the road to play Rutgers before they come back home again. They're out there. They've won 23 games in baseball. The most they've had in the last few years was 29. Well, they already got 23. They're already 8-4 in the Big Ten. Not bad. I'm doing a good job. Good-looking baseball team. As I mentioned, the Phillies at 6-8 play tonight. Also, the Stanley Cup playoffs are tonight. The Philadelphia fans did not exactly cover themselves in glory last night. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. The Celtics play in Atlanta tonight. Atlanta won the opener. Avery Bradley's out for the series. Memphis is at San Antonio. There's just no, I mean, the I just can't picture in any way, shape, or form San Antonio having any trouble in that series, despite, by the way, what Greg Popovich would tell you. The Penguins and the Rangers play tonight. Marc-Andre Fleury will not be playing again tonight. He has been ruled out of the game. That series tied at 1. Tampa Bay at Detroit with the Lightning up 2-1. Anaheim's at Nashville. Anaheim's the number one seed. They're down 2-0. And St. Louis at Chicago tonight with the Blues leading that series 2-1. Rich Scarsella next half hour. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll be right back.